Baruch Hashem Lekecha Nasim Lach Losumad Lasos Kisoavos HaGoyim Ahen. So Rashi says Losumad Lasos, he quotes the Gemara, Avalat Lomeid Lohovinu Lohoros. So you're not allowed to learn how to do these things, which is these areas of magic and superstition that the Torah formulates. But you're allowed to learn it for the sake of understanding it. So Rashi explains, to understand their actions, how they are distorted. To understand how their actions are distorted. So that means that when you study their actions, their superstitions and their nonsense, and their magic and their sorcery, and their ancestor worship and all the other things that Torah enumerates, you should learn and understand how distorted and crooked this is. Which means clearly that that these areas are to an intelligent person are crooked and stupid and idiotic. So he says, Ulahoros levanecha, and to teach your children, lo sasek kach v'kach, you shouldn't do such and such. So you see, it's a mitzvah to study the religions of the Goyim, to understand and to know what their practices are, so you can identify the practice, and you can tell your child that this is a practice of Avodah Zarah, you're not allowed to do it. So the only way you can know is by studying what they do. So you see, a mitzvah midaraisa to have a knowledge of the superstitious practices of the other nations, so you can identify them and recognize them, because otherwise you'll be over an isser, and if you don't know what they are, so your child can do it, and you won't be able to point out to them that that's what it's all. That's what Rashi is saying. I mean, like a case in point is the common use of the red bendel. See, the red that red thread is really a voodoo. Its source is a voodoo, where they wrap the baby in a red thread because they believe that red protects the child, and it's a common practice among the primitive. It's a primitive practice, and if you know what it is, you can identify it, so you know that's a chotakam. Okay, but what we wanted to do was the. And I mean many other things like that. It's important to have a source where you can check and you can look into it and see what is this practice. When you hear practice, what is the source for this practice? So if you check in and you study the source and you find that it's a source of Avodah Zarah, so you know it's an Issa D'Oraisa for anyone to engage in such a practice. Okay. As much as you can, yeah. As much as you can, everything you understand about the psychological cause of why people do these things, that is a kiyum in kamohe mekukolim. That's a kiyum in how far they are...
So what would you say psychological?
But I mean...
It's factual. I want to
know. No, in general, I mean, they have to study more of how they... like the Rambam says in the Pirshim Mishnayos. And Avodah Zarah, he says that they have certain fears, they create certain fears, and then they create certain antidotes for these fears. So first they create imaginary demons, and then they create things that will remove these demons. So it's a whole system and a whole study. I mean, that's what the Torah recognizes. This is a study, an area of study, and it's important to have knowledge of this, so you know exactly, you'll understand how distorted these human beings' lives are, and how wasteful, like the Rambam says, that their lives are totally wasted in areas that are just imagination and nonsense. And also, you'll be able to identify what the issue is, or, you know, to identify. Okay. Now, what we wanted to do was wanted to take the isurim that the Torah lists and go into understanding how the Torah obliterated the main headings of the practices of the Odeh Avodah Zarah. That's really the purpose of Kol HaTorah Kula, is to remove Avodah Zarah, remove idolatrous thought. the derech avodah zara, derech hakol. Vasulmad lasas kasovas gayim laheim. It's a whole way. Maseyem nukukolim. It's a whole style of thinking. You know, it's a style. It's the way they approach reality that's distorted and corrupt. So that's the mitzvah. All right. So the first one he has is mitzvah tuf kuf yud. Shelo liksom. That's the first one. So what is kosein? Yeah. But anyways, the chinuch says so. Liksom is like this. Liksom. We'll take all of them first individually. Liksom is to forecast the future. But he says, how do they do this? He says, misbodedim machshavtam v'kovim kol hakavana mikol inyonei haolam agufi. They concentrate all their energies on the area that they want to have knowledge of. Okay, and he says, Okay, so the first thing the chinuch describes, it's a concentration. It's a kind of concentration. It basically, he says like this. He says, he says some of them go into the desert. The mehem she yaked b'mata she biyodo b'oretz makos memaros uachazu. They strike the ground with repeatedly with a stick. The yitzak tzaakos mishunos. They scream out wild screams. Yenech machshavto v'yabit l'oretz man orach atchi yevim b'mashiyah. They had a Rambam zal shu roze b'marav pamachas. Rambam says he wants them saw that in the west. Mehem mi she yasha chol v'yasli b'tzuros. Some of them take sand and they make forms. He says, and that a lot of people in the West do. Some throw these small stones into a leather pouch, and he goes through the things. And then she has some do with salt and with grains of grain, and mixed in with charcoal. He says, "Zemefursim beinenu yasos atamin leinenu yishmaelim vayishmaelios." Umehem mishiashlach aguros olbaros v'yabed b'v'yaget. Bakavona bezakulo lahoyer koach nefesh hamabit. And we call in Yonim Elu Tarchikenu Torasenu Ashlema. While Kol Zen Nema Leyimotze Bacha Kosem Psamim Leyimotze Bacha. So it means that it means Leyimotze Bacha is not just that it's an Issa to do it, but it means that this is the contrary to the whole essence of Kedushas Yisrael. Leyimotze Bacha can't be found among you. So in short, though, what do they do? Basically, they go into a trance. It's a trance. It's a kind of a trance. So in the trance, and then when they come out of the trance, so they give predictions. Now there are Rishonim, and let me just finish this. He's like this: Ukvar kasafti bazaris lo sinachshu b'seder kedoshim lav chavtes b'sim reishin lo tam iser in yonim elu. Why these things are awesome? Mashi adati v'arisi b'sefer Rishonim b'tam iser zel fisher kol in yonim elu matin hahamon. Of course, these things fool the masses. The Yachshavu b'shvil sheyitzdiku aleihem k'tzas min advarim sheyagidu lehem balei hakesem, and they'll think that because some of these things are right, shekol apulos sheim ba'olam sibasam hamazolos v'akochos, v'kemat yikru min akatara ha'omrim yikar min akatara ha'omrim ozav alakim es oretz u'ba'ad zeh ha'inyin sheyim afursam harbe b'zman ha'nevim amar navi ami be'etzo yishal u'makwa yagidlo. So, in other words, the idea behind what is the Isser? The Isser is because it fools the people into thinking that there are some forces that are in control, and by tapping into those forces, they could control their lives. You see. So, in other words, basically, what is therefore it's a belief in other forces, and it's a denial of God. He says, denial of God, because they say, Ozav Elokim es haaretz. Because if a person believes in God and his justice, so there's no reason to do anything other than to try to pursue justice and truth and do the mitzvahs. But the motivation behind this is a belief in, behind this is a belief in certain kind of forces that have control, and they can tap into those forces and gain from that, you see. And he says, he goes on, he says like this. He says, okay, so if a person goes into a trance like that, and then he forecasts the future, so he's Chayav Malkus. And the Hushya Sashum Maisa Bedava, Shein Lokim Lebli Maisa, he has to do something. Avalashoel Mena Kosim, Einena Bechiv Malkus. He said, the person that asks from the Kosim, information is not Chayav Malkus. Va'omnam Mahumaguna Ma'od. But he is a person that is very despisable. Anyone who sets his mind and wastes his time with these things, since God gave us knowledge, and to the ones that God gave the das hames, the religion of truth, lo yos lo lachshov bavolam elu. It's not appropriate that you should think in these empty, vain things. You should not be afraid of what the Kosim says. So he says like this. Okay. It means like this. That the chinuch is of the opinion, and the Rambam is also of the opinion, that a person can have extrasensory perception, that there is such a phenomenon. That's what the Rambam maintained, that there is such a phenomenon. And many chachamim really held from that idea. But whether that's true or not is not a question of the dos. It's simply a question of reality. Is it possible for a person to go into a trance? I mean, like, I remember they used to have years ago a fellow named Peter Herkus. So he was supposed to be an ESP person. And they used to use him, the FBI used to use him on cases to try to figure out who, find the murderer. And there were people who were of the opinion that this is so, that there is such a phenomenon. And, I mean, I don't know whether it's ever been proven, but whether that's so or not is irrelevant. Is irrelevant. Because what the chinuch is saying is, the chinuch is assuming that there is such a thing. But even if there is such a thing, it still is the worst isser to even if a person can predict the future, it is the worst isser to try to find out what that future is. Even if he's right many times, and even if he's right most of the time. Because he says, what he's explaining is, that everything in Yahadus, the Yesod of Yahadus, is everything is Chav Onesh. And that's the only way a person can gain, is by doing mitzvos, and lose by doing averus. And it's true that there are laws of nature, and if it's possible for a person to have extrasensory perception, it would simply mean that he somehow can tap into what is going to happen. He says in the near future. Okay, in the near future. But he says, but regardless, even if that were so, even if there were such a thing, it would not affect the person's life. Because since we're under Hashgacha, and we're under Schav Onesh, so even if there were such a phenomenon, the individual who believes in that is denying Hashgacha. Because he's saying that everything goes according to these laws of nature, and that nothing can be changed. So it's ipso facto a denial of the system of Schav Onesh. That's what the Chinuch is saying. Okay? It's ipso facto a denial of the system of Schav Onesh. So, in truth, I mean, whether a person accepts that or not, that's a different thing. I mean, And many, I mean, today I don't think anybody believes that there's anything to it. I remember there used to be Duke University used to make studies on these things. But regardless of whether a person has the ability to forecast or to tap into the future, it's a worthless prospect, even if he could do such a thing, because what he's saying is that there are forces, Ozav Hashem Es Haaretz, that God's system of Schar V'Onesh does not prevail. But we maintain that even if the laws of nature should dictate that a certain person should die, according to the laws of nature, that it doesn't necessarily mean that he will. Because since there's Ashgacha, so God intervenes through the Ashgacha, and it doesn't happen if he's not deserving of it. So basically, even if there is such a... the desire... What the Chinuch is saying is that the desire to know the future is ipso facto a desire to negate the Ashgachas Hashem. That's basically what he's saying. Okay, so that's kosher. See, the Ramban addresses that issue. The Ramban addresses that question. The Ramban says that it is God's will that man should live only according to two things: according to the laws of nature, which is Chachma determines, and according to Schar V'Onesh, that is the whole system that the Ashgacha that God set up for us in this existence, which means to say that you have to study and use your Chachma, and also you use your Chachma in terms of the practical, and other than that, the only thing that the person can rely on is Schar V'Onesh. So even if it were possible, I don't believe that anybody... any reputable scientist today believes that there's such an ability to predict the future. As far as I know, it's been totally disproven. No one has ever been able to show such a thing. So in the light of today's knowledge, you can see clearly that the Torah simply is offering something which is absolutely havel, absolutely hevel. But the Rishonim, the Chinuch is saying, even if there were such things, or the Ramban says, that even if that were the case, that is against the Derech HaChayim of the Torah. That would mean that the individual who did that was forfeiting his exercise of Bechira in this existence. Of course, the exercise of Bechira in this existence is clearly only based on what you can uncover through Chochmah and through no other means, and through Schar V'Onesh. That's the only way that a person is supposed to live in this existence. So whether or not extrasensory perception exists, as I said, I don't believe in it. But and I don't think any reputable scientist today believes in it. But it's irrelevant. That's a separate question. That's simply a question that has to be determined another way. But regardless, that's what the Ramban says. Ramban says that the Torah is stating emphatically that man was created to live in this existence only through two things: through using his chachma and determining what the realities of nature are, and secondly, in pursuing the life, that the Torah, the life of mitzvahs, of Torah mitzvahs, and to realize that his life can only be improved through that and through nothing else. That's kol ha-Torah kula. That's the answer to your question. Yes. But that's against the Torah.
That's not using
chachma. That's against the Torah. You're not allowed to, even if there were such a thing. That's what the Ramban says. Even if a person could somehow or other tap into, there was some kind of a crystal ball type of a phenomenon, it's absolutely usher. It's Ozav Hashem Es Haaretz. Because the way the Torah was given, the Torah only instructs us to use our chachma, our intelligence, and nothing else. Yes. What the Chinuch is saying is that first of all, there would be no benefit in that. There would be no benefit in that. Because since the Torah is guaranteeing you, there's a second answer to what I'm saying also. Since the Torah is guaranteeing you that God works purely according to Schar V'Onesh, and that he is in control of everything, so to do that would be to deny that Avtacha, Hashem. So there's two reasons, that's why he says it's Ozav Hashem Es Haaretz. Because by doing that, what you're saying is what the Torah says the opposite. Torah says that your well-being is completely contingent upon one thing, upon the Shmiras HaMitzvahs.
And by you doing that, even if there were a crystal ball, what you're saying is that God is going to judge a person according to that, according to his abilities to use a crystal ball. And that's going to determine whether what his fate is going to be. And that's against the entire Torah. Because the Torah says that your fate is contingent upon one thing and one thing only, and that is Shmiras HaMitzvos. And that even if there is something in the laws of nature which can affect a person, a person should have no concern about it. That's what he says over here. He says, even if you should assume that, even if there's somebody, if you would assume that somebody can tap into the future, but that cannot affect your well-being. Because that's aftach of kol tarkula. Yes, that would be contingent upon. Your question is: would a person, let's say, you're not allowed to employ any methods to try to divine the future, nor are you allowed to go and ask anybody about the future. But your question is: if a person would happen to know that it's going to rain today, does that mean that he can't take an umbrella? Yes, that would be an asr. That would be awesome. Because that would... Well, first of all, you see, I have to explain to you that in today's world, we're living in a different situation. Because we know today there's been an uncovering of knowledge, and we have a chiyuv to pursue only knowledge. So anything of the past that... You see, that's implicit in Kol HaTorah Kula, that we must pursue only chachma. So if in the past, for instance, there was people did believe in extrasensory perception, and let's say now we see where the science advances, and we see that these things can be explained and basically it's nonsense. So that would definitely be an issa d'oraisa to believe in that, because that would be exactly what the Torah is ushering, and that is to deny chachma. So you have to realize that in terms of the mitzvos of Torah, the current knowledge, you can't just disregard it. So a person who would believe that today would be considered a person that's a fool and that abandons knowledge. I mean, it's like the case of the frog in the Rambam, where the Rambam said it was reported that there's a frog that's half frog and half earth, and the Rambam quotes it in the Pirush Mishnayos. He said, I don't know how it could be. He says, but everybody says that there's such a thing. So it was like saying something's in the encyclopedia, and you have to say, what are you going to do? You say, thousands of people say that it's rational to accept it, and not to assume that everybody is simply imagining it. But the truth of the matter is, it's a far-fetched thing. But the far-fetched happened to be what was true, that these people were liars and they were fraudulent. And now today, we know that that's not true. So anybody who believes in that today is a fool. He's not following Chachma. I mean, the whole purpose of these mitzvahs are to make a person firmly rooted in Derech HaChachma. I mean, that's exactly what he says. That the whole Tama Iser Nyonim Elu is Kol Elu Nyonim Matim Esamon V'yachshu. He says, Kol Apulos, he says, come on, he says, Vamnahu Gunamot, Kol Kay Machos Emotzi Eaten Bavolomelo. Okay? So, Lo Yos Alashu Bavolomelo. So it's considered hevel. It's considered hevel, even if you should assume that there is something to it, it's still hevel, because it's not going to affect your life. It cannot improve your life. So therefore it's hevel and a waste of time. But if knowledge uncovers that's intrinsically hevel, then absolutely that's the whole. You see, that's what the Rambam explains, that tamei hamitzvahs are so important. Because Tamei HaMitzvahs means that every mitzvah is Eitzos Me'rachot, Me'gadol Ha'Eitzah. So that's the ultimate advice. So you have to know the Tamei HaMitzvah, and it's implicit and clear in the Tamei HaMitzvah that the whole purpose is that we should live a life of Chachma, pursue only one thing, Chachma, and nothing else. So if anyone today, for instance, believes in it because he has superstitious feelings and mystical tendencies, I mean, that's a total fool. Then he's completely going against Kol HaTorah Kula. Yes, sir. So that is clear. Yes.
It's interesting also. Test.
Yeah, the Rambam says the test for the Navi is because the Navi gives a detailed. He can't just give a future, because the future can be lucky, but it has to be detailed to the point where it's impossible that he should be lucky in his forecast. And that's what that's the requirement for a Navi. Okay. That's exactly what the Ramban is saying. The Ramban happened to hold that there is such a thing. The Ramban happened to hold that. But again, I mean, you can't, like the Rambam says in his letter to Marseille, you don't determine what the truth of the thing is by looking at a Medrash or a Maimon Chazal or what the Ramban held. You have to determine it by science. That's how Chacham determines something. So if there are many things Ramban wrote about stories that came to him, weird, strangest things that we know today are not true. So anybody that believes that is going against the Torah. He's not following the Ramban. The Ramban himself would abandon it. That's what the Ramban says about the rainbow. That he says the rainbow. Anyone that believes that the rainbow is something that was not created in Sheish Mei Bereish, he says, is just going against science. He says the Greeks have already shown that it's a phenomenon of light. And he says that's why the pasuk says Eskashti Nasati Bonon. It was in the Onon already, but you can't interpret the pasuk to mean that. It was designated. Yeah. But the... it's a necessary right to test Navi beyond... Once you know he's true, you're not allowed to test him anymore. That's a necessary... Because that, again, is just an emotional thing. Where you're just trying to... you're operating under certain wishes that he's not Emes. That's again, an irrational thing. But the truth of the matter is today... Yeah. See... Moreover, today we have an understanding of what these trances are. See, these trances are really nothing more than recoiling into a primitive mode, a primitive narcissistic kind of a mode where the person feels a certain omnipotence. We see these trances, for instance, in people that are deranged. And we see them, and we see these types of trances in primitive forms and primitive people, and we understand psychologically today what the source of these type of trances is. So today there really is clearly, we have knowledge exactly why the Torah asks of these things, because these things are completely away from reality and completely stupid and completely based upon senses of omnipotence, which are very primitive and expressed in primitive tribes and go back to certain components of the mind in early childhood. Certain elements. As a matter of fact, they exist in everybody's unconscious. So today, we understand primitivism to a great degree. And we understand the source of these things. So for an individual to even think that these things are true, when knowledge shows you clearly that they aren't, that is the worst of error. That's embracing Evelyn Stuss. Okay? Okay, so one is an attempt to gain knowledge of the future. That's Shelo Lixo. Okay, so that's one. Now, Lo L'Nachesh is different. What is L'Nachesh? L'Nachesh is K'gan Omer Nafla Piti Mipi, Nafal Makal Miyadi, Avar Nachash Miyamini, like a black cat, same type of thing. The Imanim, they came at first from Maisa, and because of that, he refrains from doing something. Okay, that's the issue of L'Nachesh. All right, like he says, he saw that Kevin Sharoa Dova Ploni Beschilas Hayom. He woke up in the morning and he saw something bad. So Lo Yaviach Hayom. Today's a bad day for business. Oshim Nikra, Rakiva Chola Ma'aseh Melech Vetzvim Heim B'Chlal Lavzeh. Okay, he says Ukegam Mashi Yamar Hamone HaAmim HaSecholot. Like the masses of people that are fools that say Kevin Shishav Midarko Shal Yaholech. Since he came back, you see that's one of the suppositions. By the way, you can't go back. You can't go back home. You're not supposed to go back. If you go back, it's bad. If you start on a trip, you mustn't go back. Yes. Kevin Shishav Midako Shoya Halech, Otsvi Efsiko, or Oref Tzoek, or a bird was screaming, over Tzoek over Rosho, like a black raven goes over his head screaming. Kevin Shirah Dava Plum, he saw something in the beginning of the day. Lo Yavir Hayam, he's not going to make any profit today. Oshum Mikra Rayavayo, or something bad is going to happen to him. Okay. Now, he says Lefishin Yanim Eila Haim Divrei Shigaon V'Sichlus Gemura. He says these things are completely idiotic, crazy, and foolish. Ula'am Kadosh Amiti Asher Bochar Hakeil Lo Yeos Lam Sheyishu V'Divrei Sheka. And the nation that God has chosen, it is not appropriate that they should engage in lies. So he says, So he will think, again, he will cause a person to believe that his fate is determined by these things. And because of that, it leads a person to go away from all the Yisori Adas. So that's why God told us that there's only one thing a person should have in his mind, that all the good and the bad that occurs is all the fimai se adam, in tov vimra. V'anachashem einam mailim v'lo maridim. U'kemoshe kosov, kilo nachash b'yakov lo kesem b'yisrael. Okay. So over here he says, he says differently. See, over here he says this is simply utter sichlus and nonsense and stupidity, and anyone that believes in this is a person that has abandoned the derech haTorah, that has abandoned the derech haTorah, because there is absolutely no basis for this whatsoever. So that's how he explains Menachesh. So Menachesh is basically superstition. Superstition is that because this happened or that happened, that determines what the person should do. Okay? And that's an Isser of Menachesh. Got the Rambam? What? That, you see, over there, with regard to extrasensory perception, it wasn't clear. So some held that there is such a thing. And like I told you, I mean, even intelligent people did believe that an extrasensory perception. But regardless, from the Torah, you see, it's absolutely usher. And even those who hold that it exists, it still is usher to avail oneself of such a thing. It's against the whole derech hachayim of the individual. So but with regard to Menachesh is worse. Menachesh doesn't have an ounce of truth in it. You see, that's the issue of Menachesh. Yeah. So yeah. Okay. Yeah. Excuse me?
Is that
only for bad? What do you mean for bad? For bad or for good? Either way.
Bad omen, as opposed to good omen.
Bad omen. Good omen, too.
No, the cases that you're listening to are all bad.
Yeah, because that's the general thing. It's usually bad luck. Yes, case is good, too? I didn't.
We said the Rambam.
That's the same exact thing. I mean, there's no difference. I mean, how could you possibly differentiate? Okay.
If you know that there's an idea, then
yeah, any kind of action, whether it's for good or bad, doesn't make any difference. You can't say that it's stupid if it's bad, but it's very intelligent if it's good. I mean, it's impossible.
Yeah.
What's ma'onein? Asul onein. Af pishlo osam ma'isa eladia osam. Hakizovim shehachesilim medamim shehein divrei emes v'divrei chachomim v'chol osim b'nei ha'estagninus v'kivim malachto l'chosel b'oso ei shekovo ha'osh ma'amreis alok v'shnem alos ane. Okay. Onen is no snei eaten she'omrim b'estagninus yom ploni tov yom ploni ra. There are good days, there are bad days. Yom ploni roi lasos b'malocha plonis shana plonis ochodesh ploni ra l'dava ploni. Okay. So what is ma'onin? So ma'onin is basically
astrology.
Yeah, it's astrology, but it's interesting. What kind of astrology is it? It is saying you mean the astrology you have today. It's good. That's right. Good times. Good times and bad times. Like a kaveh, you're saying that there's some reality to this time. Like this time has a certain kind of reality vis-a-vis you. You see, like a horoscope. That's correct. That's horoscope. That's morning. So that's morning. So, yeah, you know, I think you're right. Then we said is that the difference between ma'onein and menachesh is in the cause. That's very good. That in ma'onein, the person is ascribing a certain cosmic reality to his life. That there's something, there's something in the cosmos that recognizes him. And is giving him is creating a good time for him or a bad time for him. See, that's a different kind of that's satisfying a different kind of an emotion. Whereas in Menachesh, it's not cosmic. It doesn't have the cosmic element. It's good luck or bad luck, but it doesn't have a cosmic element. That's the difference. Well, that's what the Rambam says. The Rambam says that the person that the Aloche Shalamaka, Kori Alatino, Meniach Sefer Torah, Tfilna Lakotin, He says, Lo dailam shem b'chlam menach hashem v'chovrim el hashem ha'kofrim b'torah. She knows that there are refus ha'guf, einan el refus ha'nefesh. The Raman alachi at base. He says, Shenema v'yil chayim l'nafshcha. Aval abori she'kora psukim u'mizma matilim kadeh she togin alav z'chus kriyasun. That's mutter. If he's healthy. But if a person is sick, he's not allowed to use divrei. Divrei Torah cannot be used for health purposes. Because the divrei Torah have only one purpose. And that is for the nefesh. That's what the Rambam says. So anybody that says that if a person's tefillin was missing an os, that's the exact same thing. Because he's saying that that's the cause, that the person might not, it wasn't the person's fault, he kept the mitzvah, and because there's something missing in his tefillin, so that's why this horrible thing happened to him. So that means he's a denier of schar v'onesh, and he maintains it doesn't make any difference if he makes it the tefillin or if it's a black cat. What difference does it make in terms of this? In the framework of this thing, there's absolutely no difference. But the Rambam says there is a difference, because he says in that case, you're really taking Torah and you're degrading it. So if you use an entity of Torah, that's even worse. That's what the Rambam says. If a person is sick, and he says Tehillim, and he thinks that this Tehillim is going to save him, so he says, he's Bechlal HaKofrim and Menachshim V'Chovrim. Bechlal HaKofrim B'Torah. Shein Osen Divrei Torah Refuos Guf, V'Ein Anela Refuos Nefashos. Because he's not just a Menachesh. He says Menachesh is bad enough. But here he's degrading and distorting the entity and the value of Torah. And he's making Torah into something that is a physical benefit when it really is a benefit for the soul.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So you're right. It's worse.
That's not...
Say again. Go ahead, say again.
Because if you're going ahead and ridicule, you say a person missed, filling the posh was missing, so that's why he died.
That's
how Kaddish Baruch was done.
Then you're saying that God is not a shofet tzedek, a dynamis. I mean, that's absolutely. I mean, there's no question about it. That's against the whole idea. That's why the Torah singled out these things, is to give you an idea. The whole idea is that you're like... And the idea is exactly what the Chinuch says. That he says, V'od shem sibol adiach adam, that's in Reish Mem Tes, adiach adam me'amunas Hashem u'mitarasa kedosha, v'lovo mitochom l'chfira gemura, complete kefira, sheyachshav kol tov aso v'ra'aso, v'chola sheyikreyu, shehu davar mikri, lo vashgacha me'esa bar, v'nimtza yotze b'chach mikol ikrei adas. Al-Kain, ki chav shem izbar, v'tav shem izbar, v'osmi l'ben, machshav zol, v'lo v'ven, ki aros, v'atov osmi pi elyon teitzen, olifim ma'ase hodon, im tov, v'im ra. V'anachosh amein amav lo marim.
Basically, he said God's an arrogant fool if you do that.
Yeah. So that's the difference between nichush and between money. You're right. In ma'onein, he's attracted to a cosmic idea. Mm-hmm. A cosmic idea. That's why I say, yeah, there's not any birthdays, because a birthday is that day has cosmic importance. I mean, it stems from a similar kind of an idea. But we don't have a Yahrzeit's birthday. You have a Yahrzeit, but not a birthday. So Yahrzeit means that the person is that's when a person when a person has completed his work. I mean, and is he's determined the state of his soul. Yes.
Is when
because reading psukim, because he's saying that by reading these psukim, he's making an event. He's doing the event. He's creating an event, which he's saying is going to be. That's what the Rambam says, Menachesh. Yeah, the person reads certain psukim and tefillim, he thinks he's going to help him get better. So that means that he's saying that this event is the cause of what's going to happen. Okay, that's the same thing as Menachesh. The Rambam says what's Menachesh, right? Menachesh and Chovim. We didn't get the Chovim yet, but there's a reason why the Rambam puts in Chovim. Harei elu b'chlal haMenachashim v'Chovim. Okay, Yechover, what is chover? Chover. So he says like this. The Rambam says chover, because the Rambam says that a person that meiniach sefer Torah tefillin al hakotan b'shvil sheyishon. So if he puts a sefer Torah tefillin by a cotton, he should sleep. Lo dai lohem sheheim b'chlal haMenachashim v'Chovim. That's Menachesh and chover. So what is chover? So he says zeh chover. Zeh shemedaber b'dvarim sheinon loshon am. Ve'ein lohem inyan umayla al daito ve'ein lohem inyan umayla al daito besechuso sho'osan advon mo'ilin ad sheheim omrim sho'om akach v'kach al anocha sho'al akrav ein umasek v'om akach v'kach al o'ish ein anizik. So mehen oches b'yado ba'eis shemedaber mafteach osela kirtu dvar melech kol asa. Okay, v'chover atzmo she'ochas b'yado klon mo she'osan maise em dibura filo herbetz v'reiz aloke she'nam lo yimotze b'chover chover chover. Okay. All right, so then it goes to the question of Malchus, Marcus, whatever. Okay. So basically, so what is chover chover? Chover chover is where he enunciates certain statements or certain words. So that, I mean, we reckon that today is called the omnipotence of words and thoughts. That a person thinks, that is a primitive thing, and it's found in primitive societies, that they think when they say something, that that's going to be effective in determining the future. They say, oh, don't say that. Oh, they say that. That's oh. And no, you should say this. Say this, it's going to be good. You don't say that, because that'll be bad. So that's chover chover. That's chover chover. Chover chover is a superstition that what you say, the words you say, are going to affect your fate. That's chover chover. And most of these practices, I mean, you really, when you study these primitive societies, you see clearly how that is a predominant theme over there. That you don't have to study societies that are too primitive to find it either. But they believe in making certain statements. Don't say that. I mean, all these kind of superstitions. I mean, all these kind of superstitions, like commonly found superstitions, unfortunately among our own people today. I mean, don't say the name of the baby before the time. Oh, something bad's going to happen. Don't say it. All these things are basically chover chover. Anyone that believes that because he makes this statement or that statement, that that's going to determine what his fate is, that is bechlal chover chover. Okay, that's bechlal chover chover. And if that's why if people make statements or they say certain things which will negate the statement. Sometimes people make certain statements and then they'll say an anti-thing to protect you. They said, oh, don't say yet. They say this to correct it. This is all bechlal chover chover. It's the exact same identical emotion. It takes a person away, completely away from the Derech Hashem, and causes a person to believe that his fate is determined by these idiotic utterances. So that's chover chover. That's what the Ram says, that the person that puts the tefillin by the tinok, you see, or he's halochei shel hamakor, the korei pasuk min haTorah. Person reads a pasuk of Torah on a wound. V'chein hakori al atinok shelo yivas. He reads a pasuk on the tinok, so he shouldn't be afraid. V'ameniach sefer Torah tefillin al hakotan b'shul shishon. Lo dai lohem sheim b'chlal menachashim v'chover. So it's interesting. So you see, by chover, it's an interesting thing in the Rambam, that the Rambam maintains that let's say meniach tefillin, sefer Torah tefillin al hakotan. I don't know what the Rambam meant. He says these all. He gives a case. Lo cheshal amakar kari pasuk min haTorah. That's one. Chena kari al atinok shelo yivas. He reads a pasuk cut and shouldn't be afraid. And a meniach sefer tefillin al cut and shushishin. Lo dai lahem sheim b'chlal menachashim v'chovrim. I don't know if he means that the meniach tefillin is a chover or he's just going on the whole group. I'm not sure. I mean, he's saying this group is b'chlal menachashim v'chovrim. It would seem by meniach sefer Torah is menachish, and kari al atinok is chover, because the chover is the omnipotence of words, the omnipotence of words, and it means, I mean, the isser is that these things, the person has to understand that these things are the things that the Torah identified as the elements that make a person soar me'achrei Hashem. That's what these things do. So a person shouldn't think that it's just a harmless thing. A person just says, oh, don't say that. The person said that means that he is in his mind, he's a soar me'achrei Hashem, because he believes that this statement is going to make a difference. And this is a powerful emotion. I mean, a lot of times people, things are happening to people that won't say, don't say it. Don't say it. If you don't say, you're going to be protected. If a person does that, he's b'chol chover chover. He's b'chol chover chover. And he's embracing, it's not a question, over here, it's not a question of the technical issa. You see, it is the tamei hamikra, which is more important, because that's the whole Derech Hashem, which is set forth in these mitzvahs. It's not a matter of a technical performance. It's there's a unifying underlying concept here and a whole derech, because losumat lasas kesovas agayim lahein is a whole derech of avodah zarah. So that person would be a fool to think that if he could technically avoid the iser, that somehow or other that this is going to remove him from the klal of the of the soul. His soul will be harmed just as much because this is a whole derech of the whole derech his whole derech ha'chayim. It's a distortion from the whole derech ha'Torah. So these are not harmless things that people do when they may when they this is essentially means that they're embracing a derech that saw me'ach Hashem. And the Torah has identified it. Identified every element. Okay, yes. By the way, most people say, what do you have to lose? Try it anyway. That's what the Rambam says. That's what I mentioned many times. Rambam says that that is why the Torah singled out the Moloch. Moloch, the Rambam says. I think he says in one of his letters. The Rambam says, why did the Torah single out Moloch? Because what was Moloch? Moloch was they simply took a baby and just put him quickly through fire. Didn't harm the child, you see. So it was like a kind of... they child from dying through through fire, dying a death through fire. The El was a protective thing because they believed in the fire god. What? No, because they said no. Because now you're giving, now you're showing your recognition of the fire god. See, there was a premise. So really was fire insurance. It was fire insurance. So the thing is, now you see, fire insurance is a big thing. It's a very big thing. Even today, I know people that have certain things in their homes, fire insurance. Fire insurance is a big primitive emotion. So the Rambam says that that's why the Torah says that's the worst thing, because people will say, what do you have to lose? Put the baby through there. It works, works. Doesn't work, doesn't work. The Rambam says that that is the worst idea, to think that it's a harmless thing to engage in such a kind of a practice, because it's the worst harm for the nefesh. That is the worst harm for the nefesh. That's what Rambam says. If a person goes to a movie that has these type of things and he goes there because he enjoys having his emotions drawn in that direction, that's al tifna lelam. That's an esteresim. That's lo somad lasos. That's lo somad lasos, because that means he's learning it because he likes it. It's just that he finds it attractive. I mean, if he follows those emotions, that's exactly what Torah says. Lo somad lasos. That's exactly what. Okay. Like it says the Rambam says, yeah. The Rambam says it's interesting. The Rambam says that Oeno hova Oshayoma sheroi lasos kach v'zero mikach. That's the Rambam says on Kosev. And the Rambam says udvar meilu kulon divrei sheker v'chosav hein. They used it in order to gain power. See? So he says, so the Rambam apparently holds that even with regard to Kosheim, that it's possible for a person to know the future. In some instances, a person may have a sensitivity, something, but this method is definitely a method of Sheker. This method is definitely a method of Sheker. That's what Rambam says. It's different than the Chinuch. Okay. So, yeah. All right, so what do we have? So let's just... So you have Ma'onein is the cosmic quality, that there's a cosmic relevance of time, and Menachesh is the event, that there are certain events that determine his fate. And then you have what? And then you have... Kosem, the desire to look into the future with the because he believes that such a well, besides the Rambam says the Shlus v'Havol Kosem, but even if there were some ability to do that, that stems from a desire to beat out on Schar V'Onesh. Somehow he thinks he's going to beat out the system of Schar V'Onesh. So that's Kosem. That's the issue of Kosem. What's the other one? And Chov V'Chavim, the omnipotence of words. Okay. Where he feels he has an omnipotence in his thought, so he could tune into to a future thing. So that's a kosein and chover chover are both similar. One's the omnipotence of thought, one's the omnipotence of words. Okay, and that's what Rambam says, that he doesn't believe there's anything in it. It's completely hevel, because it's hevel, because the method is based upon a sense of omnipotence of thought. That's the source of the thing, and that's why it's hell. Right?
Yeah.
Oh, let's get the guys in. Hang on.
Any of the guys were here in the summer when we did it? All right. Let's. What I wanted to take was there are a couple of points here I wanted to take, and then we'll try to put it together. Of course, the difficulty is, that a lot of things are dependent on certain, like the Rambam says in the Maror, that the Rambam says that if we knew all the particulars of the Sabine worship and were informed of all the details of those doctrines, we could clearly see the reason and wisdom of every detail in the sacrificial service, and the laws concerning things that are unclean, and in other laws, the object of which I am unable to state. So he said, I have no doubt that all these laws serve to blot out wrong principles from man's heart and to exterminate the practices which are useless and merely a waste of time in vain and purposeless things. So he says, those principles have turned the mind of the people away from intellectual research and useful actions. That's what the Rambam says in the Mara. And basically, it's very similar to what he says in the Yad, almost identical. So the worst iser is for a person to turn away from intellectual research and beneficial and useful actions. That's the underlying iser. Underlies the whole philosophy of kula terakula. That's the worst thing. A person turns away from chachma. So a lot of the things, like the Rambam says, if you have knowledge of some of the practices, the more knowledge you have, of course, the more knowledge of Torah you have. That's why Lasos. And the many things that if a person keeps it in mind, many times you come across certain things. Today they do a lot, we have a lot of information that was unavailable to the Rama, especially in primitive practices that were able to study firsthand, because we have access to the actual societies, primitive societies, and it's very useful to study these things in order to understand the ideas of what they do and how the Torah took us away, banned those methods and those practices. What I wanted to do was in the chinuch on the chinuch. We read this the chinuch, which I think is a very important one, which is things that people tend to overlook. By the way, somebody mentioned to me about the about a goro. Goro is the first issue in Kufayin Tess in the Shulchan Aruch. Gorolos. That's absolutely awful. To use any kind of goro to forecast the future. That's the same thing. It's basically the Shulchan Aruch is Ein Sholin Bechozen Bekochovin V'lo Begorolos. Okay, first halacha. Tuchas Marin Amenachesh. Machashev. Okay, now on Shiloh, so it's broken down. Really, there are eight lavin here. There are eight lavin in this area. The eight lavin are Lo Shalola Nachesh and Ramat Tuchavim. It's Lamed Zayin. Shalola Nachesh, Shalol Lixum, Shalola Onin, Shalola Bar Chover, Shalol Lidra, Shalom Mason, Shalol Lishol Baov, Shalol Lishol Biyadoni, and Shalol Chashev. Okay? That's am right. That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Yeah. But interesting is that the only ones that Yechayev Misa on are the last three. Shalol Lishol Baov, Shalol Lishol Biyadoni, and Shalol Chashev. The other ones you just love and malchus, but not chiyuv misa. So of course there has to be a reason for that. But So what I wanted to do first was just to take this shalol lach bar chava. Now the question what we're trying to do is break them up into their components in terms of. In terms of how the Torah attacked this whole way of thinking. So, Shalola Nachesh is basically superstition. Shelo Lixon and Shelo La'onein, those two go together, because those are forecasting the future. We'll go through it. That's forecasting the future. Shelo Lach Bar Chover is the omnipotence of words. And Shelo Lidro Shelo Mason is where the person is Lom Beves HaKvaros, and he tries to conjure up an image of the dead to the dead, the deceased person, in order to communicate, in order to gain knowledge. Shelo Lishol Ba'ov, it's interesting, Shelo Lidro Shelo Mason is one thing. And Shelo Lishol Ba'ov is basically a seance, where they produce the deceased. In the seance, they produce the deceased individual. That, if the one that does it is Chayav Misa, but Shelo Lishol Ba'ov is because that's the way it's usually practiced. People go to the seances to find out information. And Shelo Lishol Biyadoni, we don't really know exactly what it was. But it was apparently some kind of a bone that they used that they were able to present it as if it produces speech. And then Shelo Lachashis. Okay. So, basically, if you break it down, you'd have Lanachesh is superstition, Lixom and La'onein is forecasting the future, that's two. Lach Bar Chover is the omnipotence of words. And apparently they used to do with animals. They'd say it's one shot, but it's the same idea. In other words, that they would give the implication that through these words they have control over these animals. Shelo Lach Bar Chover. Okay, so that's omnipotence of words. Lidrashal Mason is a different thing. That's a Lidrashal Mason is really is where the person is. He says, "Inyan Drishazu Hushiyesh Minyan Shemavima Mariven Atzmon V'Ochum V'Lona Beves Akvaros." So that's one. It's close to the Shelo Lishol Ba'ov, because in the case of the Ov is where Sheosam Hashem Sheosamo Pitom Shehum Miles Hamais the Bein Shechio the Shamea Shom. That's the seance where they bring the maybe more exact word for it. But they bring the dead back to ask them information. That's old. And Yidoni is, like I said, Yidoni, but this orbital Yidoni is, I don't know exactly what it is, but it was some kind of a seance, but it was a little different. It was through a bone. So basically, Lenachesh is superstition. Lixom Lowen is the future. Lach Bar Chover is the omnipotence of words. Lidrashal Amesim and Lishal Ba'ov and Lishal Ba'yidoni. Those three, I mean, seem to be, in terms of the Derech Avodah Zarah, are basically are in one group. But we'll have to see why the last two of them are Chayav Misa. And then, of course, Shelo Lachashis. Okay, that's Chayav Misa. So, yeah, what I wanted to do was, yeah, in Lach Bar, or Shelo Lach Bar Chover, so there's an important, very important chinuch. He says the chinuch in Mitzvah Tav Kuf Yud Beis. He says, Ulai B'nei Tikshalai, maybe you'll ask me, B'hodeh Gassinim B'shuas, a Perek Yedias HaTumah, Shir Shal Pagayim B'Kinaris Ben Valam,
Rapos, the Divrei Torah.
As a matter of fact, the Gemara says, the Gemara that he's quoting has Lashon Arisiyot. The Gemara's in, like I said, Gemara's in short. Rishim Balevi Masada Luhulahani Kroy Vadani. So the Gemara is, Heichi Ovid Hachi, how could he do that? Vama Rabbi Shubin Levi, also was Rappos of Divrei Torah. So the same Rabbi Shubin Levi said, you're not allowed to do that. So the Gemara says, Lahogin Shining, that to protect oneself is mutter, which means that if the person is ill, he's over a harbor, Ein Lechava on a ball, like the Ram says. But Lahogin is mutter. So he explains what it means. Why is Lahogin mutter? I mean, it would seem to be another form of the same thing. It's just, in one case you're preventing it, in another case you're curing it. So he says, He says that's mutter. In other words, the idea is that he's allowed to say these psukim, which are divrei novi, that have the true ideas that teach a person that he should place all his faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to be samech al-chazda v'tuvo. And that is mutter. So it's mutter to be ma'orah ha-nefesh through the divrei novi so that he should reach das. He says, if you understand them, the nefesh hayodeya osam, it is ma'orer him, lachasos b'ashem alasim bo kol mitachah. So you're allowed to do that. That's mutter. In other words, it's mutter for a person with a certain knowledge to say the psukim that it should have an effect on him, that he should make recourse to his intellect. And it's chachma, and this will cause him to be bateach b'shem. That's what he says. So apparently, I mean, from the chinuch, it's clear that it would only be mutter either for Rabbi Shimon Levi or for somebody on a level who has an understanding. Because he says, "Eskilum is my moshishma yeoru hanefesh yadeya osam machtov b'shem." So if he's yadeya osam, so then it's mutter, because that's the whole benefit. But a person who is not yadeya osam has no knowledge. It's usher. But he said, Metochus Oros Alzeh Yin Nishma B'li Safik Mikol Nezek. So the Shmira is through the Oros, which awakens the knowledge. And that's mutter. It's mutter for a person to do that. Because through that, it channels his mind to these areas. And the more knowledge he gains in the area, so the more he's under the Ashgacha. And the more he's Nishma Mikol Nezek. And that's what the Chinuch says. But it's interesting. It's interesting. In spite of that idea, he says he says that the Torah did not say. That is, that the Divrei Torah should be ma'orer his nefesh towards the ideas, and the ideas and the knowledge will result in shmira. That's mutter. But it's interesting. And in spite of that, he's not allowed to do it if he's a chola. Yeah, the Rambam distinguishes. A chola, he's not allowed to. It's an interesting thing. So the question is basically, the Rambam says, he says that if a person does it, it was a chola, karpas min haTorah, he says, lo dai lahem she'en b'chlama menachshim v'chol, el she'en b'chlama tof b'Torah, she'en osin b'Torah l'fos agos, ain't no l'fos nefesh. Okay, she'nema. Avala bori she'kar p'sukim mizmatum, k'dei she'hoge, l'fos kriyasun, v'inotul, mitzorosun, minazakam, reizamata. So, the Rambam distinguishes, the Rambam distinguishes between a bori and between a chola. That a chola is usher and a bari is mutter. A chola is usher and a bari is mutter. It's an interesting thing. What's the difference? I mean, if it's simply a matter of, being ma'or the nefesh towards knowledge, so why can't the chola do it also? That's the question.
That's Avodah Zarah. To believe that these
Sukkim because I'm going to gain more insight, more knowledge, that this Chuli is going to be removed. Then he's Chov HaChov. Now he's operating under the omnipotence of his speech. You see? That's Chov HaChov. That's the difference. And that's really what the Chinuch is saying. It depends. Belief Sufik Mikol Nega. If it's, yeah, from everything, you know, everything is equal. And basically that he will be on a level where his Shmir will be increased. That's 100% belief Sufik. But to say he's going to remove this disease, that's Derech Avodah Zarah. That's, then the person is simply looking for some type of magical potion that's going to, that by saying this ceremonious statement is going to remove him from this predicament. You see? That's us. That's the difference. Specific or general? That our Amunah is general. Specific is Derech Avodah Zarah. That's the difference. Okay? That's why the Rambam says if he's a chola, it's absolutely awesome. Okay. It doesn't mean, by the way, it doesn't mean if he's a chola. And he says the psukim, in order to be mara nefesh for other things, that's a different thing. But if he's thinking that the chuli is going to help him for the chuli, that's derech avodah zarah. Okay. Well, that's an important distinction. Now, let me see. That's the one. Yes, go ahead. Yeah, tzila, 100%. Karasika, tzila. That's 100% mutter. But divrei Torah, that's absolutely awesome. To utilize divrei Torah is absolutely awesome. Yeah, karasika, tzila. Tzila, that's the medium that the person should use. And instead of saying psukim, they should be mispalel. That's what the Torah, that's what God gave us. I mean, the medium of tzila. Kovet Hashem l'chol karo. No. That's a general thing. Not specific. That will not help in specific. It will not help him in specific. He has no knowledge of the specific. Okay? Tzila will help him in specific. Tzila is the medium for the specific. That's correct. I mean, the Spala says completely different thing. Completely different thing. Okay? They're two completely different vehicles. One has nothing to do with the other. Tzila is where the person places a request before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's a completely different medium. That's 100% the person. That's what he should do. The chol is in the spowl. But to think that by doing anything in specific, even increasing his knowledge, that this is going to remove this chuli, that is absolutely awful. What is the nature of the Yisr? You see, what is the nature of the Yisr? The nature of the Yisr is, and this is a fundamental principle. Probably one of the most difficult principles in Yahadis, but the most fundamental, and that is that Divrei Torah are not Refuah Sagof. The man is looking, man's nature is that all the systems of Avodah Zarah, all the systems are really just for one purpose, just to secure the material and the physical. That's the purpose of it. That's anyone that is a very superficial study of idolatry, and that makes it clear. And religious instinct, I mean, that's religious instinct. That the person is religious for one purpose and one purpose alone. And that is in order to secure his physical and his material well-being. That's basically what it is. And if you just observe it all the time, you'll see that's clearly what it is. It's because of fear. And fear of a person's vulnerability, and also the desire for a person for the positive material success and health and well-being and all those things. That's really why these things were instituted. That's why they were created, because man has great fear. He's frightened. He's living in a world where he has no control. So the religious instinct in man is always tied to that. You study every religion, you'll see that's what it is. And that's what Yahadis made, the Das HaEmes, makes the demand of the person that in no way should he think of Torah and mitzvahs as being things that benefit him in a physical way. They only benefit the nefesh. That's the only object that they affect, the nefesh, nothing else. Everything else is B'day Shemayim, and the learning of Torah will not help the person one iota insofar as his physical well-being. Not one iota. It's a refus nefesh, completely. That's what the Rambam says. Yeah, it's true. A person on a higher level, Ashgacha, it's a different, that's a completely different system which we have no knowledge of. But the objective of Torah is not the guf. And a person who takes Torah and makes its objective, that's why the Rambam, why is the Rambam so harsh, I mean, and so strict, and I mean, he says clearly that the Bechlal HaKofim B'Torah, and basically it's Ein L'Chalek Olam Haba, like the Rambam says in Hilchos Mezuzah. It's Ein L'Chalek, that is the worst thing, because that's taking the Torah and making it into the vehicle, the same vehicle that the Ovdei Avodah Zarah, the whole of Avodah Zarah is based on. That is the worst thing. And it is no doubt the most difficult Messiah, because man by nature is looking for security, is looking for that. And he has Divrei Torah, and he would love to believe that this is going to help him in a physical way, but it has nothing to do with it. Divrei Torah is only for the nefesh. That's the only objective of Divrei Torah. And the fact that a person who is a greater individual is under the Ashgacha, yeah, that's true. 100% true. Belief suffix. But does that mean this particular, that particular will occur, will not occur? That's only HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Will he, in the end result, will his nefesh be better off when he leaves this world? Belief of it, no doubt. And insofar as the physical is necessary in order for his nefesh to attain perfection, then the physical will be there. But that's a completely different way of thinking, completely removed from the primitive Derech Avodah Zarah, which is that this thing will be a will act as a segula for his guf. That's Derech Avodah Zarah. That's exactly what the Rambam is saying in the Chinuch. It is a very difficult thing for man. Very difficult thing for man, because it goes against every religious instinct in man. But that's the essence. That's the essence. That's why it's Ein L'Chalek Olam Haba. It's the worst of error in the world. Ein L'Chalek Olam Haba. Why? What did he do so terrible? He tried to say some sukkim in order to make himself get better. Yeah, that's Avodah Zarah. To use a thing which is given only for the nefesh. And as long as the person doesn't realize that and degrades it and considers it as something which is beneficial to the guf, he's making that into Avodah Zarah. Making that into Avodah Zarah is Ein L'Chalek Olam Haba. That's what the Torah demands of man. Feel is something else. Feel is completely different. Okay, is it clear? Yeah. One second, I gotta raise up these. I can't hear you. One second. Give me a second. Yeah, go ahead. Say it again. No, I just explained that in passing. Let me emphasize that a little more. That the only sense that it's making on the goof is in this sense, that what is without a doubt is that an individual that partakes of Torah, his nefesh is affected, and his nefesh is permanently affected, and not just in this existence, but in his existence after this existence. That is for sure. And since HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Dayan HaMS, so therefore he judges man in a kind way, which means that he allows him to be able to participate, insofar as he deserves, in pursuit of Chachmas HaTorah, which is for the nefesh. But in this existence, the guf is necessary. So therefore, the guf will be benefited insofar as it's a vehicle for the nefesh. But the essence is only the nefesh. That's what Torah is. So therefore, since that is that's the way the things are, so if a person will take these divrei Torah and will direct them towards the guf, will be making them into avodah zarah and degrading them in the highest fashion and taking them away from their objective, in which case his notion of Torah is completely false. There's a false notion and a false idea, and Torah has no benefit for him, and his nefesh has no gain, and he has no chayav olam haba. His nefesh simply has nothing to do with Torah. His nefesh is completely removed from Torah. He's just out after physical security. it's the core, the essence of the Yadus is visible here. Okay, the core, the essence, the essential idea. Okay, any other answer to your question? Yeah, and in a, only in a way that a Kodesh Baruch Hu knows will benefit him in terms of nefesh. Maybe it's maybe he should die from this movie. Maybe that's the best thing. I mean, we don't know. So the by the pasuk in open pasuk that vayishalech hanoch hasolakim vayinenek ilokach hasolakim was better for him to be niftam in olam. So his nefesh was saved by miso by his death. So a person doesn't know which only HaKadosh Baruch Hu has that kind of knowledge. So if he's using Torah for this specific chuli, that shows you that he's operating in the Derech Avodah Zarah, because it's not possible for a person to know that. The only thing a person can know is like he says, "See, not so mikol nezek belief suffik." That means any kind of damage that will damage him in the way, in the manner that will damage the soul. That's the only thing you can be sure of. So a chola, if he says, if a chola improves his ideas, it could be that it will be makar of misasso. That's possible too, because you see, Chanoch, if Chanoch didn't have good ideas, he would have lived longer. The reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu took him away was because he had good ideas, and his nefesh was saved by his misa. So a person cannot know what is the best thing for his nefesh. Only HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows that. So how does he save his divrei Torah in order to remove him from this chuli? The answer is he's out of the realm of this mode of thinking, and he's into a different realm, the protective goof realm. So that means he thinks that the Torah was given in order that in this physical existence we should have a good physical existence. Anyone that believes that idea has no concept of Torah at all. It's completely in a different imaginary existence, and his nefesh has no benefit of Torah whatsoever. So it's Enlecha Gol Mabah. There's a clear cut difference here. These are two completely different roads, because they can't. It's not a matter of a slight difference here. Slight difference, you wouldn't be Enlecha Gol Mabah and Rabbi Yehuda ben Levi. This is Gedolei HaTzadikim. And these are two, they look close on the surface, but the two roads are completely apart. One has nothing to do with the other. Okay? That's why one is Enlecha Gol Mabah and the other is Zocheh L'Chayei Olam Haba, in the highest degree. So the difference is paramount. It's a very, very important difference over here. It may look like a little difference in terms of the action. In one case is a bari, in one case is a chola, same action. But there's a world of difference in terms of his das. And that is, in one case, he is taking the Torah and using it for the goof. And the other case looks to sound like the same thing, but it's a completely different world. He's just saying this so that he should be more of the nefesh, in order they should be moved towards the true ideas, so that he can be zocha and techai olam haba, his nefesh should be zocha, and because of that, he will be nishmar, his guf will be nishmar insofar as is necessary. That's a completely different world. You could say things, and if you don't attach any meaning to them, they could sound and feel the same, but they're two different worlds. It's a very essential point. It really sums up, I mean, this halacha sums up the whole difference in approach, and that one halacha of chov v'chov. Okay. Any more questions on it? All right, that's chov v'chov. Just a second. What else did I want to say? Yeah. And the Ma'onin and the... So Menachesh, the first one is Menachesh, correct? In Menachesh, the Chinuch explains in Kedoshim. In Kedoshim. Second, where is it? Oh, here it is, okay. Yeah. Shalom Menachesh. So Shalom Menachesh, he says like this. He says Shalom Menachesh is that Menachesh kegan omer nafla piti mipi. Nafla makli miyadi. Ova Nachesh mimi vishul mismoli. The yimnam it may king measos shemaisa. Okay, and he says, the chain, he says, unless nafshikon elam menachshim Bechuldo, the Ophos, the Kochovim, Kyotzeben, different, whatever vehicles he is. Adkan, Chenkidon, Mashiyom, Ramone, whatever event, whether it's an event of the stars, birds, what do you call it, animals of native. I mean, we have in our side is black cat. Kivan Shashafti Midarki, she see Holok, that's what a lot of people do. They say, don't go back. Don't go back home. Otsi Yitziko, Orev, Okim Sharisi, Dovaploni, Bitskil Sayom, Lora Viachayam. I won't make any profit today. Oshum Mikra Raiva, Yavoe, some bad thing will happen. Okhola Maisma Kitzman, Himbachla loves it. Mishor Sheha Mitzvah. So what is the Yisr? The Yisr is because these are crazy things and complete, utter stupidity. So that's why Yechayev Malkus, he says. Because it's completely stupid and idiotic and foolish. And there's no truth to it. Completely Divrei Shaka. That's what he says. That's the first reason. So for that that's the Shorosh HaMitzvah. That superstition is completely idiotic. Because she gone the sichlus gemura, completely ridiculous. He said. Then he goes on. He says, "V'od sheheim siba l'adiach ha'adam me'emunas Hashem u'mitaras ha'kedosha, v'lova mitochom l'kfira gemura." So he says that because in the process of attributing the cause to these things, he says that's implicitly he's denying Hashgachas Hashem. Even though in his mind he doesn't deny Hashgachas Hashem. But no matter how he looks at it, but the fact is, he may look at it as some kind of a thing in nature, any framework he puts it in. But he says it doesn't matter what framework he puts it in. I mean, let's say he puts it in the framework of like a physical thing. Let's say this is a law, okay, a law of nature. So he says this leads a person. It puts him on the road of complete kfira. Okay, so he says this leads. Yeah, so what if a person, and this is what people usually say, they say, I don't deny God or Ashgacha or Torah. I just think that this thing works like some kind of a natural law. It's some kind of a law. So that's usually the defense of people. They would say, I'm chas v'shalom, not denying the Ashgacha, I'm not denying God. But I just say that this works like a hit by a truck. That's a natural law. So this, too, is a natural law. As a black cat crosses my path, it's going to be a bad day. That's some kind of a law. So why does... But the Chinuch says that really this leads to kfira gemura. Yeah, why does it lead to kfira gemura? Why can't the person save himself by, so to speak, putting it into that type of a category? Interesting. First reason the Chinuch says, because it's like the Rambam says, Shtus Vavel. Okay, it's Sichlus Gemura. Sichlus Gemura is the worst of error. That's the worst of error. Sichlus Gemura. Shigong the Sichlus Gemura. That's the loss of Nachash. But then he says there's another reason also. Both reasons. Either one is enough, suffices. But there are two things that, two bad things that come out of this. One is that he's an adherent to Sichlus Gemura. And it's the denial of the Am Kadosh, which is the Am Chacham Lenavon. And secondly, this is another bad thing that comes out of this activity, and that is denial of God, denial of Hashgacha. Yeah, so why can't a person defend himself and say, and most people do that, they say, look, I believe in this power, but it's a power, it's a natural force, it's whatever, this thing can harm me, I have to watch out for it. I Hashgacha, yeah, but it's like a truck, you don't want to walk in front of a truck. So what's the answer to that question? It's an important question to answer.
It seems seem to be that they're claiming the Torah, Hashem's Torah, is omitting things that are essential for the right life.
No. He's saying that's why the Torah authored it. He's saying that's why it isn't the Torah. You can't place the cart before the horse there. In other words, he is saying that the Torah answered it, because if the Torah didn't answer it, and people would believe in these things, it would lead them to deny the Hashgachas Hashem. Okay? Why? Why would that result? Why can't you say, the person will say, look, I believe in it like I believe in a natural law, but I don't deny God, I don't deny the Hashgacha. Why can't a person defend himself that way? Most people do that. Most people are superstitious. If you ask them, that's the exact answer they'll say. They'll say, Chas v'shalom. Of course I believe in Chas v'shalom. Aye, what about this? This is like a natural law. It's like a truck. But apparently the chinuch doesn't accept such a thing. Chinuch says that it leads to clear the mura. And to the removal of a person from all the areas and all the ideas of Torah. Yeah, why is that?
And you're saying there's a different answer than just being a life of sichlis.
It seems to be. He seems to give another reason. Chinuch gives me another reason. It's not the same thing as first reason. Correct? All right, you've got the chinuch there. Yeah, so why is that so? So apparently what the chinuch is saying is a very important yesod. And that is, you can't just say this is a natural law. It's not a natural law. There's no such law. It's stupidity. So whenever it's not a matter of which a person is putting it into a category, the thing, it has to belong in the category. The reason why we believe in the Hashgacha and why we have Amunah Bashem is because it's emes. It's true. So if the person takes a stupid thing and makes it into and makes it in his mind into a natural law, that's a kofer. Because now he's turning away from the whole source of Kol HaTorah Kula, which is the Hashgacha, which is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the whole Schar V'Onesh, the whole system of Schar V'Onesh Mipi Elyon. So the moment he goes to the realm of stupidity and posits that as a cause, that's ipso facto a denial of the Hashgacha. You follow? That ipso facto means he's completely removed from any true idea of the Hashgacha. Because the reason why we believe in the Hashgacha is because it's emes. Because it's derech chachma takes you there. But if you start positing, you take something which is stupid, and you start attributing a reality to it, so that means your mind attributes reality to something that's not real. So then your mind cannot recognize the real. So a belief in that kind of a thing is ipso. You can't just say, I believe in Hashem, I believe in Hashgacha, but this is just a natural law that he created. Just a mind. Does your mind tell you this is a natural law? Is there any basis in your Tzelem HaLakim to assume that? The answer is no. So that means that you deny Chachma, and you deny the Tzelem. So therefore your root to the Hashgacha, to the root to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is completely obliterated. So now your belief system can't be based on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because that's following the mind. So you can't just get out of it by just positing something is what it's not. Do you know what I'm saying? You're saying, I still believe in Hashem. Now your belief in Hashem is worthless. Because now you're saying, what is your belief? Your belief is in any stupidity. So that's a denial. It's ipso facto a denial of the whole Derech HaEmes, which is the only way that a person can be convinced of the Yedias Hashem. Do you follow what I mean?
What was the first answer again?
The first answer is, the first reason?
Yeah.
The first reason is, it's simply stupidity. It's a bizoyon for the Am Hashem. The Am Hashem cannot engage in any kind of sichlus. Period. That's it. And the second reason is, because doing that, ipso facto,